Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vintage Church Midtown, where we tailgate our service every once in a while. If you're new with us, man, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We want you to know you have a home in this place. I'm incredibly excited about this next season that we have coming up, as we do invite you to get on board of this mission that we're called to as followers of Jesus Christ, which is to make disciples. And we call this love one a lot. A lot of you guys are loving more than one person. So if you're loving more than one person, yeah, love more. Just keep love. So if you don't have anybody though, love one person. Start thinking about who you can be praying for, who you can be ministering to. And man, Advent is a perfect season to invite somebody to church. December 3rd, we're moving because every year, that time of year, I don't know if you guys remember, but there's holidays here. We get kicked out. We go to North Hills Club. We have an awesome worship. So that's actually going to be our first week at Trinity Academy, which I am incredibly excited about. And I hope you guys become excited. If you don't know the school, if you have all these questions, we want to answer any questions that you have. So Jared, myself, Brad, whoever you guys know that you're like, hey, I want to ask some questions to, please bring it up to us. God's doing amazing things. He's done an amazing thing in our church. And we need, through a lot of prayer, through a lot of searching, we feel like God's leading us to this incredible place in this incredible season. So we're excited. Today, we are talking about generosity. Our whole service season that we've been going through as a church has been looking at Jesus is worthy of our lives. This week, we're looking at Jesus is worthy of our generosity. God is a generous God, and he calls us to follow him, to be like him. And we're going to see that generosity doesn't happen by accident. Generosity is very intentional. And I was just thinking through and praying through this message. This is the first sermon I've ever preached on giving. So I was like, you know, when it comes to money, a lot of times people are like, when you start talking about money, you kind of like freeze up a little bit, you tighten your chest, you're gonna hold on to your wallet or your purse or something and be like, okay, what's going on? Especially in church. Man, church is all the time. I mean, I heard like 2 months ago about a pastor getting fired because embezzlement. Right? We know the stories. We've heard stuff. A lot of pastors, they drive nice cars. One pastor was asking his church for a private jet. You know, when you tie it to Christianity a lot of times, and pastors talking about money just seems weird. But Jesus tells, let me just say the simplest line. Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. I mean, that's kind of simple. You just can't do it. And Jesus knows where life's going to come from. Life does not come from serving money. Life comes from serving God. Those are the two choices humanity has, is you can serve God or money. Jesus knew that. That's as simple as idols are. If the idol of your life, or if you're not worshiping God, weirdly, Jesus knows the only other thing that kind of works. That's the practical thing humans from all time have served. It's money. And so as I was thinking about what in the world, how do I want to start this? I thought back to a conversation that I had with my daughter recently. I love working outside. It's something I love doing. My daughter and I, we were outside one day, and I'm like building these outdoor stairs in the middle of our side of our hill. And they're probably like playing with raccoons or whatever in the world's in our backyard in the woods. And she comes over at one point, just starts telling me about her day. You know, it's this little conversation that we're having. And she mentions that she shared with Abel. She's like, Daddy, I shared with Abel. And I was like, you know, Elizabeth, I mean, Archer, I am so, Elizabeth is my sister, I'm sorry. I said, you know, Archer, I'm so proud of you. I'm just really proud of that. And in the midst of like kind of this conversation about my proudness with her was just a question that came to my head that I was like, I really want to hear why she did that. So I said, Archer, why did you share with Abel? And it's just super simply, she said, because I love him, Daddy. It's just this four-year-old, you know, you're looking at her, and she says a line that's like foundational to humanity. We were made to share. And the reason we should share is love. We are made to be generous people. At the heart of it, I think you know that. You are made for sharing, being generous. And if somebody asks you why are you so generous? Why do you share? Love should be the answer. That's like literally core to our existence, is we are made for generosity, radical generosity, but the inner toddler in us comes out all the time, and our favorite word on this planet is mine. Mine. A lot of our homes, we hear that, that's mine, mine, mine. And the crazy part is we live like that a lot. As humans, we grab on to everything that's ours. We have our fingers clutched around our stuff and around our money. And if anyone was going to try to take it from us, we get so defensive. We don't want anybody even look into that part of our lives. And Jesus calls us out and he says, you're designed to love. You cannot serve God and live like that. You are made to share, to be generous, and to do it because you love others. So that's where I want us to consider this message. When we talk about generosity, I want to, if you're interested in, go like, why should I listen to this message? Because God has given us this great command, which is to love him and to love others. And when you do that, you flourish. When your life becomes about yourself and your favorite word is mine, your soul dies. You should listen to this because life is given through generosity. This is just how we were designed by God. So let me pray for us. Let me ask God to work in this passage, in this sermon, in all of our lives. Let me pray. God, you have made us for yourself. You have made us to thrive when we follow and really live like you lived, which is a life of just giving and giving and giving. Jesus, would you help us see you today? God, would you help us as we look at your word to see what wonderful things there are in this passage? God, would you convict where there needs to be conviction? God, would you help us turn where we need to turn? For all of our hearts, God, would you help us love. Love you and love others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, as I was thinking through that that conversation I had with my daughter this week, it did seem like Jesus just invited me and he invites you. You should ask Jesus why he's so giving. You should ask him, why do you share everything with us? One word that the scriptures use of us is that we are co-heirs. When we believe with Jesus, in Jesus Christ, we are co-heirs with Christ. He shares the inheritance of God with us. Why does he give and give and give? Why did he come and give his life? Why did he raise from the dead and he's seated in the heavenly places right now? It says constantly he is interceding for us. He is giving and giving and giving. Jesus is praying for you right now. He is interceding before the Father. Why? Ask him. Because he loves you. Because I love you, Tanner. He would say something incredibly similar to what my daughter said. And I want us to consider Jesus first. That's what we wanted. When we talk about giving, we've got to look and start with Jesus Christ. Paul, in this letter, he is writing 2 Corinthians, namely about where we're at today. He's writing this letter to say, hey, Corinthian church, you guys kind of display that you're a really strong church, but you need to actually know God's way works in weakness. We've been seeing that week after week after week. But one of the reasons he's writing this letter is there is some churches in need. The Jerusalem church has a ton of need. It would be very similar to stuff that's like what's going on in Puerto Rico right now, where a pastor goes, I need your help. We need your help. He's going to take up a collection. And so in chapters 8 and 9, he's actually writing the Corinthian church and he's letting them know, hey, we need your help. There are saints that need help right now. And I'm writing this letter so that you would give, that you would be a generous church. That's what he wants. So when these five verses that we're reading today, they actually go all the way through chapter 9. He's going to write about generosity and giving. This is kind of at the heart of this book that he is writing to the Corinthian church. So let's read. Before that, let me give you the structure. I always like giving structure out. I do this almost every week. Paul's going to say generosity looks like three things. So the first is generosity looks like sacrifice. It's sacrificial. The second is he's going to say generosity in God's kingdom is cheerful. Generosity is sacrificial, it's cheerful, and then finally, it's God-motivated. That's what he's going to give us in this passage. So what we're going to do is we want to look at, okay, what is he talking about this first section, sacrificial? Let's read verses 1 and 2 in chapter 8, if you have your Bibles. This is 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. The passage tells us, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. So, he's starting out his section and he's going to say, hey, Corinthians, I want you to look at this other church. The churches in Macedonia, look at them. And it's weird. He gives this equation. Here's what they did. And it really almost sounds like a math equation. So we're going to put it up here as here's the math equation that he talks about. Here's what the Macedonian church did. They had abundance of joy. They added with that extreme poverty. And that equaled a wealth of generosity. What an interesting equation. What an incredibly interesting equation. Abundance of joy, extreme poverty equals a wealth of generosity. This is so different than what we think. We would typically go, wait, what seems weird about this equation? Extreme poverty, right? A wealth of generosity? In extreme poverty, so you take joy, you add a little bit of extreme poverty, and you get a wealth of generosity. What an interesting equation. This is an equation that actually Jesus first told us about. He was at a synagogue, a church, and the temple. And these people were coming in, they're rich, they're wealthy, and they were just kind of flaunting their wealth. And one of the ways they flaunted their wealth was how they gave. They would give publicly. So they're giving all these incredible gifts, these big, massive checks were coming. They didn't have checks, but they're putting a lot of money in the offering in the temple. This widow comes in. She's extremely poor. And all she has left is 2 cents. And she comes in and she gives her 2 cents. And Jesus stops the shit. He tells you who gave more. He tells you to the kingdom of God what made a difference. Was it the big checks or the big heart? Was it the big gifts or the heart that was on fire? The heart that trusted her God? That's all she had. She had 2 cents. And Jesus stops the show and said, she has given more than any of you. Giving in God's kingdom and generosity in God's kingdom is so different. It is so different. It is sacrificial. And that's where that extreme poverty we want to focus on is, yes, there's joy, but man, the churches in Macedonia, they were going to give to these churches in need and these people in need, and they did it out of their extreme poverty. Think about that. We, you know, when we start talking about money, our hands get clenched, we get tight. We start thinking, don't look into it. Are you thinking, like, do you know how much I give? Or what? Don't talk to me about my money. You don't know my business. You don't get into this. Jesus wants you to know. He wants your heart. He does not want big checks. I will tell you right now, I do not want anyone in here to give a ton of money to us without their heart being in it. The church in Corinth did not need big checks to be written. He needed their complete trust and dependency to be put on God who provides. See, when people give out of their extreme poverty, they have to believe God provides for them. It is God's money. It's not mine. I'm giving because it's God's, and I'm trusting He will provide for me. And that church cannot be stopped. The church that depends on their Savior cannot be stopped. Because God is for those people. He provides for those people. He will never leave them hungry. Generosity, the first piece of generosity is it's sacrificial. If it doesn't kind of like hurt a little bit, it just might not be sacrificial. You know what's sacrificial? Sacrifice is hard. If you want to be at the top of your field, how much work does it take? How much time does it put in? Like if you want to be in the NFL, how much time does it take? If you want to be the top lawyer, if you want to be the best, it takes sacrifice. It's gotta hurt a little bit. That is part of what Paul is saying. Look at the churches of Macedonia. Look at this equation. It's totally different. The church of Corinth was a very wealthy city. And what he's trying to tell them is he needs much more than just funds. Dude, does this make sense? He does not just need checks. He does not need, the people do not just need money. God wants them to be generous people. And generosity has nothing to do with the size of your check. It has to do with your heart. The reason Jesus stopped the show when the widow put in her 2 cents is because her heart was on fire. And He loves that. Her dependency, her extreme poverty made her trust her God and trust her Savior. That's the first part of generosity. Is it sacrificial? And listen, sacrifice turns your heart on. I don't know if this has like ever happened with you guys, but a lot of times when you sacrifice, particularly for another person, you start, and maybe it's not you just start. One, you sacrifice because you love the person a lot of times. And then two, if you are not in the best state of mind, when you sacrifice, you start to love the other person. Has this ever happened to you? This has happened to me. You've probably heard this, but in our first pregnancy, my wife got a blood clot, and it was this massive thing, and they missed it when we went to the doctors the first time, but it was this crazy time where my wife went from limping to having to sit down a lot to not even be able to be like sit in a sitting position, but having to like lay down all the time to like, I had to completely serve her all the time because she could not move like at all. And it was really freaky because it happened within a minute, like 7 days. It was like, what in the world's happening? And over those days, obviously, you just have to serve. You just have to, like, your life has to change. You've got to change up everything. And all I did was serve my wife. We ended up in the hospital. They finally found it. And I've said in church here, one of the most amazing times of my marriage was when my wife sat up. That was like, it had been like 2 weeks of her completely flat and she sat up and it moved me. And I think a lot of it was because through sacrifice, through serving her day in, day out, my heart was just moved towards her. And when she just does anything, it like moved me. When we sacrifice for others, our hearts kind of light up. If you want like a fire to be lit in your soul, the Bible is going to say one way that a fire can kind of come on is sacrifice. Invite your neighbor over and do something extravagant for them. Be generous. Sacrifice for that person. And see what starts happening with your heart. Why do you share, Archer? Because I love him. This sacrifice kind of starts turning your heart on. It can kind of take that stone heart or that one that's got a little heart and put a little life into it. That's the design of sacrifice. And sacrifice is always intentional. Jesus didn't accidentally end up on the cross. Oh, how did I get here again? And whoa, I'm kind of like paying for all their sins right now. That's amazing. I'm like really glad that like sacrifice never works. If sacrifice is not accidental, you know what's it seems accidental? Greed. You don't think about greed. It is so deceptive. You never think you're greedy. You are accidentally greedy. You are never accidentally generous. It is always intentional because it is always sacrificial. It's always invitational. You always have to, like, if you're going to love your neighbor, you're going to have, like, go over, invite, do something bold, save with your spouse, with good friends. When you're being sacrificial and you're going to give a large gift or whatever it is, you got to take time, resources, planning. It takes a lot. This is the way God loves us. It's with a ton of intentionality. So here's what I'd say. If you're not intentional with your money, there's just no way with your money you can be generous. You just can't be. If you're like, I kind of just let Mint think through it all for me. If you're just money kind of just goes, I'm going to tell you, you just can't be. Jesus would say, what you love, you spend your money on. Where your heart is, your treasure's there. Your treasure and your heart are in the same place. So you can look at your bank account and just tell what you naturally love. You'll just naturally do it. With sacrifice, you have to be intentional. You have to really plan. You have to really think through it. Again, Jesus didn't go, whoa, how'd I get here? You know, how'd this happen? No, it was pre-thought, pre-planned. His love was predestined upon you. He knew of you from the day one on this earth. He knew how he was going to give and give and give to you. And our love has to be intentional in light of that. The second thing, so that's, this is sacrificial. That's all in sacrifice. Paul's saying, look, love is tied to sacrifice, and our generosity has to be tied to sacrifice. It's sacrificial. Secondly, it's cheerful. Let's look at this equation again. This makes sense. There's abundance of joy plus extreme poverty equals a wealth of generosity. Here's the abundance of joy part. This extremely impoverished church, the Church of Macedonia, they just had this abundance of joy. Why in the world did they have this abundance of joy? What was going on in their life? Jesus Christ had saved them. He was generous to them, and they longed to be generous like Jesus Christ was. Listen to what it says in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. Listen to this. It says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. I mean, in this section, you get both of the things. One is Paul saying, I think they were actually given a little bit beyond their means. They were poor. They gave beyond their means, so that's the sacrifice part. But then what were they doing? They were begging. Do you see that? They were begging Paul for the favor of supporting these people that needed relief. Their giving was cheerful. Their giving was done from this heart that had been changed. God does not want any other type of giving. That's why when the widow puts in her 2 cents, he stops and says, this is how you should be giving. When you give, your heart should be on fire. 2 Corinthians at the 9 is where he kind of is wrapping this part, this little section up, chapters 8 and 9, where he's asking for gifts. Listen to what he says in verses 6 and 7. He says, here, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't want any reluctant giving. He does not want any compulsion, nothing under compulsion. In this sermon, please, please do not feel the need when you're thinking, man, I guess I've got to give a lot more, or I've got to do this. Do not feel that compulsion. Do not give under that compulsion. What I want you to see is Jesus Christ. And look at how much he gave for you. And he just gave and he gave and he gave and he gave his last breath for you. And he rose from the grave. And the Bible tells us he's interceding in heaven. He's praying for us. He continues to give and give and give and give. And I want you to say, I want to follow him. I want to be like him. I want to love God. I want to love others. This is what I'm made for. I want us, man, how awesome would it be if we begged for the favor of just giving and taking relief? Side note, please give to an organization you trust about Puerto Rico. That's just give to them, okay? There are people in need. Take this message to heart. Do something sacrificial. Do something that's cheerful. Please give to the saints that are in need. This church was just an amazing example. This Church of Macedonia is just a great picture of this cheerful giving. God does not just want sacrificial giving. He wants sacrificial giving with cheerful giving. That's how generosity looks. I mean, think of it in terms of personal. So if you're going to be generous with your neighbors, how awful would it be if you popped out your best bottle of wine, or you're having your best dinner that you've ever made, or you know, you've saved your allowance and you've bought whatever it is for your friend that's coming over, your neighbor friend. And it's like, it took you a lot, but when you're giving it to them, you're like, oh, goodness, I hate this. This is like, that's a lot of money. And that's not generosity. Is that generosity? I mean, you invite your neighbors over, and they can kind of tell each time they eat a bite of the, you know, filet mignon or whatever you said, and you're like, oh, goodness. That's not generosity. Is that generosity? That's not. You've got to have sacrifice and cheerfulness. How awful. That would actually make somebody feel worse, is if you did this big sacrifice and then the whole time you're like, you know, it just cost me so much. I had to empty my savings account for this. I mean, how awful. That's beyond, you know, the scope. That's awful. We can do that with God. You could give today some of your resources to God, and your heart hates it. That's awful. You think about if you did that to your neighbor. Think about if you did that to God. God wants your heart. Love is the reason that we share, that we're generous. He wants us. Why do we give cheerfully? Because we love God. Because we love others. We can't, and hear me, we can't just build that up on our own. If we don't, then what do? What happens if you're like, man, I don't know. I'm like, I do feel like this is an area that's really challenging. It's hard for me to give. And because I just kind of don't want to. I don't know where the desire is. All I'm going to tell you is seek God. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at the person. Look at the work of Jesus Christ, what he has done, and see what your heart does. Seek him. See how he's lived. That's how our hearts change. You know, the reality is, in middle school, I was a smelly kid, you know, and I, like, you know, didn't want to shave, you know, this stuff. But then, you know, you start noticing girls, right? And you know what? You start getting motivated. I did. Things changed after, you know, my heart changed. We're not thinking. You can't think through this. You got to love through this. Your desires have to change. You just can't go, okay, I know I should do it. Let me just... the middle school boy in all of us will never do it like that. We've got to start liking girls, and then we got, okay, I'll shave this, and I'll put stuff under here, and I'll, you know, actually pull up my pants and, like, you know, whatever. I'll take a shower every once in a while. You know, the reality is we are loving creatures. Does that make sense? We're loving creatures. We change when we start desiring to change. I didn't change until that happened. Does that make sense? So the only way I can tell you is not to think your way through this. I've got to say, look at Jesus Christ. Look at what he's done for you. Look at his life. Feel his love towards you and see what happens. The final thing is generosity is God motivated. I love this last verse. This last verse, verse 5, is just, I don't know what it is. It's a... awesome. The Church of Macedonia did this. They gave this, and not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Our generosity has to start with giving ourselves to God. Generosity puts you at a place of incredible relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we give our money, that is like an easy, and give our resources, give our time, that is just like such an easy way to give ourselves to God. I would say this, Paul is just right on. We got to do that first. For generosity to be right, it has to start with God himself. We have got to start by giving ourselves to God What does that look like? One, it looks like complete dependence is what I would say. Man, that extreme poverty that the churches of Macedonia had, when they gave, you know what they had to trust is God will provide. You know you are cared for and loved when God provides for you. And He always will. He always will. Generosity begins by saying, I need you, God. I need you. I need you way more than I need this bank account. I need you way more than I need this stuff. I need you. I am dependent on you. I need you to provide for me. I do not need my job. I do not need my husband. I do not need this person. I do not need that. I need you. You are the one that provides for me. And when He provides, you start loving. Or hopefully before that, you love Him. Our generosity has to be God-motivated. It has to start with loving God first. The great command is to love God. And out of that comes our generosity towards others, which is to love others. I mean, this passage to me is summed up by the great command. Love God and love others. If we do that, we will be radically generous people. Man, as I was thinking through, how do I open this up? There's all these, like, to me, when I read this passage, it's like I saw that equation. Saw that equation the whole time. It was like abundance of joy, extreme poverty, wealth of generosity. The Jesus equation is incredibly awesome. Jesus wasn't extremely poor. What's if there was a Jesus equation to a wealth of generosity, what would that equation be? Jesus had an abundance of joy, and He had all wealth, all riches, all power, all authority, and He gave it all to us. A wealth of generosity. I mean, that equation is the most powerful equation. It has changed the world on its head. It has shaken up governments. It cannot be stopped. The gates of hell cannot be stopped with that equation. And whether we are rich or whether we are poor, like the Church of Macedonia or the Church of Corinth, if we follow our Savior, Jesus Christ, we will be a generous church. We will be a loving church. So one, give yourself to God this week. That's what I want you to do. How do you respond? Give yourself to God. Two, give. I just don't know how to say it otherwise. Look at how you are with your neighbors. Do you get, is your life marked by generosity towards your neighbors? Is your life marked towards generosity here? To your workplace, are you generous? Why? Why not? Just start giving. But first, give yourself to God. And then give. And if somebody had to ask you, hey, why do you give? Why do you share? I hope it would be because I love them. Love. Love people. Start with loving God. Let's pray. God, would you take us as yours? God, I want to give myself to you. I want to be a generous person that first gives my all to you. God, would you take us as your people and just show us that you don't need anything. You do not need big checks. God, you want our hearts. You want ourselves. God, would you work in this place, work in this room? Would you turn our hearts to love you and to love our world? This is why you've designed us, is to love. God, we do. We want to honor you. We want to see you. God, would you work in this place today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.